The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. Thank you for the opportunity we have to open your word. Father, you know my prayer that you move your servant out of the way, that you will have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. We thank you for the blessing of your word. For those of us who need comfort, I pray you will comfort us. And for those of us who need conviction, I pray you will convict us. For Lord, there's nothing greater in all the world than to being convicted or comforted by you. Both make changes in our lives. In your son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say, if you heard an amen, you know they're visiting, make sure they feel at home. Hold on to your hats. We're getting ready to roll. Amen. Now, we're going to read verse 31 through 36, and there's absolutely nothing new that you haven't heard before. You've read it, seen it, repeated it. But even though you've seen it, read it, repeated it many times, do you really understand it? Do you really see what it's saying to you and I and how that should change our lives? So, let me read 31 through 36 with me. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Reading from the King James Revised Scofield Edition. Those of you who may be a little confused about where in the world is he reading and what is he saying? Verse 32, and what he has seen and heard, that he's testified, and no man receives his testimony. He that has received his testimony has set his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the word of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Verse 35, the Father loves the Son and has given all things unto his hand. Verse 36, he that believes on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believes not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Anything new there? Anything you haven't ever heard? If you've been in church for a while, is there anything there you haven't heard? Is there a lot of things there you take for granted? Oh, yeah. I believe so. And one of my jobs is to help you see that. In order to see what we're about ready to preach, then you need to give me some answers to set the premise. Because if I can get you to agree with me before I start preaching, you're lost. And you can't disagree. Can I have an amen? I learned that from Paul. Paul will get you to agree with something, then he start preaching, then we go, I don't believe that. Well, you already agreed with it. Are you a double-minded man? I like Paul. So my question is, it starts off with this. What is the purpose in society for adults? Role models, okay. Mentors, what's that? Teachers, salt, okay, preservatives, providers, okay. What's that? Leaders, donk assuring. Judges, those who have the wisdom to give right answers to judge, okay? Anything else before we move on? Warriors? Warriors or warriors? Okay, warriors. Nobody can worry like an adult. I heard another one back here. Love our children and raise them for the admonition of the Lord. Ooh. You sure you don't want to preach today, bro? To seek wisdom. How about parents? What's the purpose of parents today? Discipline, training. What's that? To guide, okay. Protect, nurture. Raise godly offspring. punish. Praise be to Jesus. It's always good to have a good man in the room, isn't it? Punish. Thanks, Lance. Absolutely. So what we're saying is that parents oftentimes is the same purpose in society as adults. And if you are a parent, it'd be good to be an adult. We got a lot of children having children today. Amen. It used to be also that parents had lots of kids. Today in our society, kids have a lot of parents. And we wonder why we get a little confused in our society. How about generals? What's the purpose of generals? Strategy. Lead. Discipline. What's that? Teach to follow orders. Yeah. Anything else? Carry out the will of the president. Anything else? Accomplish a goal to win the war. Okay. Now, isn't it amazing that all the things that we're saying that comes with adults, with parents, with generals? I was going to go and say the legislature and the presidency, but I thought I better stop at generals. to keep it reasonably true. But when you look at all the aspects of the parents, adults, a general, you know, we can get a little bit more personal, right? Why do you go to a mechanic? To get your car fixed. Why? The car is broken? Or they should know a little bit more about the car than you? Because there's a lot of people who try to fix their own car. That's why it costs twice as much. How about going to an appliance store to get an appliance? What do they call those guys? Repairmen. That's a big old college word that I didn't know of. You go to a repairman to get your appliances fixed because they are supposed to know more than you do about a subject. And isn't it amazing that with wisdom, usually comes with age. And you young people that's in here today, I want to get your attention a little bit so you're going to help these adults understand something. Now, those of you that are older kids and you know, getting towards junior high and high school, going to college to get yourself some knowledge. If a first grader walked up to you, a first grader walks up to you and look at you and go, you don't know how to dress. You are outdated right there. And then they open up their iPod and show you some outfits. Now, you seniors and junior hires and you college people, would you listen to a first grader about how to dress? I can't hear you. Absolutely not. You wouldn't be running around, that first grader is intelligent. She is much smarter than me. Isn't that right? Isn't that what you'd be saying? No, ain't a high school in the world gonna let a first grader tell him how to dress. Tell her how to act. Ain't gonna happen. I know that's bad English, but I want to emphasize. Ain't gonna happen. But you know what about young people? You're some of the biggest hypocrites in the world. Now, you won't listen to a first grader because you're older and have more experience. But you get mad when your parents won't take counsel from you. Why? Because they got more experience than you. They've gone through more things. They understand things a little bit better than you. And one day, you're going to grow up and realize that you weren't as smart as you thought. But your parents was. Now, do we understand that concept? Can we get in the word now? Watch this. Make better sense, hopefully. Woo! Jesus on my mind. Verse 31. He that comes from above is above what? All. Is there anything left out? Is there anybody left out? He that is of the earth is earthly. Can I get an amen on that? And he speaks of earth. He that comes from heaven is above all. Who are they talking about in this verse? Who just come from heaven? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came from heaven. Heaven is above earth. Heaven sees the whole perspective. Earth sees a limited perspective. Earth is a temporary housing project. Amen? It's just a temporary housing project. This is not going to last. God came from that which is eternal. If Jesus is coming from that which is eternal, give me a little answer. You think Jesus knows better than anyone on earth? Now, you've already said you go to a mechanic to get your car fixed because he knows more. So if Jesus has come from heaven, should he know more than you and I? Then why do you, if you can trust a mechanic, you can trust an adult, you can trust a repairman, have trouble trusting Christ on what he says? Oh, I guess you guys don't want to go there with me. So, you know, you look like you're from Missouri. If you put the emphasis on the wrong syllable, it's misery. Turn with me to Isaiah. I wish I could say it like Jewish people could say this. Isaiah. They can bring it home. Everyone got Isaiah chapter 55. When you get there, give me a praise the Lord. Let me know you're there. Boy, you guys are fast. All of us know Isaiah 55:8-9, but have you checked out what comes before there back in verse 54, chapter 54, verse 17? There's no weapon that's formed against me that's going to prosper. Can I have an amen? You've seen 8:9. You quote it all the time, but have you ever gone on and read 10:11? Read it with me. Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Said who? Your thoughts are not mine, and your ways is not mine. Now, if that is God speaking, then you and I have a great formula on how to be right most of the time. If you would grab your first thought about what you ought to do and do the opposite, you're running to God about 90% of the time. Why? His thoughts are what? So your thoughts that come up first, it probably won't be God's thoughts. His ways are not your what? So if you think your way is right, first off, it's probably not right. So if you go the opposite, that's one of the things I teach in my marriage class. Women and men are different. Men, the first thing you think about, do the opposite. And you'll be with the lady 90% of the time. Somebody encourage the pastor here. God's ways is not your ways. His thoughts are not your thoughts. How much difference is it? I'm glad you asked me. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. You like people that's got experience? You like people that's got age? You like people who knows what they're talking about? You can't find anyone better than Jesus. But yet and still, we're always arguing with him. We're always trying to find ways to get out of what he asked us to do. You ever notice that? If he says, wives, you ought to be this way. Well, I don't like that. What does Jesus know? He's only been here for eternity. Husbands, you to love your wives like Christ loved the church and die for her. I ain't into dying. I'm dying every day with her. I ain't dying no more. No more dying. Children of God said this is how you treat your parents. Why do you have a hard time understanding that? You know, if you don't want to read the whole Bible, just go out and buy a red letter edition. Can I have an amen? Just buy a red letter edition. That's when Jesus speaks. Just read the red letters in the Bible and just do what it says. You'll be okie dokie. Why? Because his ways is not your ways. His thoughts are not your thoughts. As the heaven. Is the heavens a little bit higher than earth? Just a little bit in elevation? Why do we have a hard time accepting what he says if he is all wise? All knowing. Has more age on him than anybody. Man, we have a hard time trusting him. Am I getting home? Is it making sense? But I think there's a couple more verses in Isaiah 55, isn't it? You guys thought you were going to get out of there, didn't you? Verse 10 and 11. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not there, but watereth the earth, what does it do? It makes it bring forth its bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. And I don't know about you. If you like bread as much as I like bread, I like this verse. God says, I'm the one to make these things work. I'm the one. And anything man has come up with to improve it came because I gave it to him first to improve. And I gave you the brain. I created that brain for you to use. So even what you think you're learning has come from me, because all learning comes from me. I am learning. Verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in things whereto I have sent it. Guess what? Guess what God has sent his word to you and me. And it will not return void. It's going to do its work in you and me, whether you want it to or not, because he is the manufacturer. He is the creator. We've already established that in John 1. Why do you go to a Dodge dealer to get your Dodge fixed? Well, you should anyway. Why do you go to a Chevy dealer to get your Chevy fixed? They're the manufacturer. They built it. They know if it's making a certain sound and not doing a certain thing, they probably know where to look. They got the instruction manual. God created you and I. He knows how we are supposed to work. He gave us his instruction manual, and half of it is in red. And that don't mean bad marks. I guess we better go back to John because that's where we are. Thank you. Even the babies cry. Let me see. Verse 32. And what he has seen. Let's break it down. Let's make it better here. Verse 32. And what Jesus has seen. Does that make better sense? And what Jesus has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no man receives his testimony. Whoa! He who has all knowledge, he who has been around longer than anyone, and man don't want to listen to him. How many don't want to listen to him? Well, I guess we better go to Romans chapter 3. Y'all looking like you got a blank on your face. Go to Romans chapter 3 with me. Verse 10. Tell me when you get there. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Check it out. As it is written, who wrote it? God, through Paul, there is none righteous, no, not one. How many is righteous? Oh, my goodness. None. Does that entail us? If his thoughts is higher than our thoughts, the reason why is because he's righteous and we're not. Verse 11. There is none that understands. How many? There is none that seeks after God. How many? We've already understood about none 2 weeks ago when we dealt with all the daddies. Remember, we met me daddy, he daddy, and then they wanted Moses to go, so he was going to be go daddy, and then Joshua was no daddy because he was the son of none. Remember all that? None again, none again, none again, none again, none again. None is righteous. None seeks after him. I think it's a pretty strong statement, don't you? Look what it says, verse 12. They are all gone out of their way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throats are an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way. Woo. And the way of peace have they not known ever. And let me ask you a question. Why, if these are non-believers, those who we used to be like, that have accepted Jesus Christ, why would you listen to a non-believer who does not seek after God at all and you want to take counsel from them? Even professionally, if you're going to a non-believer, always filter it through the word of God. I don't see any real response here. Just kind of like deer in headlights. I love non-Christians who want to counsel Christians about their marriage and life. And I can't believe Christians that run to non-believers to get counseling. Because it doesn't come and doesn't reach the standard of God. I know it's strange. But Romans 3 tells us they don't seek him. They don't know him. They don't understand and don't want to understand. Well, you go, Pastor, I mean, I run into some bad Christian counselors. Me too. Don't mean all Christians are good counselors. If they're not standing on the word of God, they're not any better than a non-believer. Can I have an amen? But you need to filter it, even professionally, through the filter of God's word, because he is older than everybody else. He's more powerful than everybody else. He knows more than anyone else. And sometimes his ways is not our ways. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. And what man says is good strategy may not be good strategy when it comes to God. For instance, Joshua, son of Nun, that I've already used. You know him? No daddy? Okay. Now, no daddy was out in the desert. All of a sudden, the angel shows up with a strategy of how to take Jericho. All right. Joshua, I want you guys to get all your swords. Yeah. All right. Angel of the Lord. We're going to get our swords. Yes, sir. Get your shield. Yep. We're going to take this place. Yep. No doubt about it. Angel of the Lord on our side. We're going to whip on them. Now, this is the strategy. I want you to go across the Jordan. I want you to surround the city and march around it for 7 days. On the seventh day, I want you to march around it seven times and then scream at the wall. I don't think there's any general in the world to take that advice. Because most generals, most parents, most adults most leaders, if they don't know God, would think that God's ways is absolutely foolish, because God's ways is not their ways, and God's thoughts is what? Why would you take counsel, young people, from someone in the same grade or the same place you are, and they don't know God or any more about life than you? It amazes me. Absolutely amazes me. A little bit more to these verses than you thought? I think so. It's a good thing we run out of time, or we can really get into it. Back to John chapter 3. I think we're on verse 33. He that has received his testimony has set his seal to this, that God is true. Go over to chapter 8 of the book of John. You should be able to get there real quick. Let me know when you get there. What's that? I mean, hey, it's only a couple of pages over. If you ain't got there yet, you're going in the wrong direction. Verse 32. And what does it say there? Now, listen, don't turn back. Let me read it to you again. He that has received his testimony has set his seal to this, that God is true. John 8, verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the shall make you free. Isn't that something? Is that something? You want to know the truth about a situation? Read the red letters. If you don't want to read it all, read the red letters. Because Jesus is truth. And what does it say? You should know the truth, and sensitivity will set them free. I can't hear you. Do you know that there's more Christians concerned about sensitivity and love than telling folks the truth? In other words, we are more concerned about turning someone off than we are about turning someone on. You guys know my philosophy. It's impossible to turn someone off that's never been on. You only got one way to go. That's on. The truth. So if I got to choose between sensitivity and truth, I'd like to have both, but if I got to choose between the two, Jesus said go with truth. And since he's been around longer than me, and his thoughts is higher than my thoughts, and his ways higher than my ways, I guess what I'm going to do? The pastor's going to go with that truth. Because I'd rather have God happy with me than some non-believer happy with me and stay the non-believer. Because I am not going to have God ask me, What did you say? Well, God, your word said be loving. And understanding, you put your arm around them and let them know they're loved. Did I do that? I did it in my mind, but then it came out, didn't it? Put your arm around them and just kind of put the sleep hold on them, bro. Sometimes Bruce Hutch comes out and I can't handle him. You guys shouldn't be enjoying church. It should be boring. Verse 34. For he whom God has sent speaks the word of God, for God gives not the spirit by measure unto him. Did everyone hear that? Go with the pastor over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Where now? Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. When you get there, give me some response. I love a cross-cultural church. But sometimes it'd be good to have everyone in here black. I'm sorry. I said it. The count, go daddy. The worst thing ever happened with integration in the United States was there was more black kids being beaten than you can ever believe. Now, I'm not talking about from other people. I'm talking about in their own homes. Because black kids start going to school with white kids, and they start hearing some really bad stuff. Like, you don't have to do that. If they hit you again, just call the police. And those heathen kids was telling other black kids about how to get along in your own home. And you ain't got to put up with that. You ain't got to obey them. And then most of them thought lightning had struck them when they told their parents, I ain't got to do it. You guys ain't going to get it, don't you? That testimonial stuff, man. You know what I'm saying? Testimonial stuff. Get you, that fullness of Jesus Christ. It's true. It tells you how to do things. I think it was in Philadelphia. This lady moved into this neighborhood, and the kids start going to integrated school. And she had told the child, when I get home, make sure you got your room clean, you got the kitchen clean, and I would do the cooking once I get home. Well, the kids was talking about it at school, and she was telling what she had to do when she got home. She goes, you don't have to do that. What? Yes, I do. No, you don't. What do you mean I don't have to do that? Look, if your parents touch you, you can call the police. Now, I want you to understand now, this was a black family, not African American. That's what you call us. This was a black woman, sister, girl. Came home, the room was still a mess, the kitchen was still a mess, and the girl was sitting down watching TV. She walked up and said, didn't I tell you to clean that room? Didn't I tell you to clean that kitchen? I didn't even ask you to cook today. Well, I don't have to. Excuse me? I don't have to. And if you try to make me, Mom, and you touch me, I'm going to call the police. Mom says, get your coat. Excuse me? All of you, she had three kids, get your coats. Get your coats. Where are we going? Don't worry about that. Just go get in the car. Went and got in the car. They all looking at each other like, whoa. She drives to the nearest precinct police station. Gets out. Walks up inside the precinct to the sergeant behind the desk. And he said, ma'am, can I help you? I said, yes, you can. I asked my daughter to clean the house, clean the kitchen before I got home. And she informed me when I got home with a dirty room, a dirty kitchen, and she's not going to do it. And she said, if I touched her, she was going to call the police. So I brought her here to save you a trip. Pull that girl's coat off. Wore her out in front of the sergeant in the police station and then says, here I am. The sergeant looked at her and said, ma'am, that's the best I've seen in a long time. So go ahead, take your kids home. If more parents would do that, I wouldn't have them in front of me. If you do it the way Christ said do it, you eliminate a lot of problems in your home. In your business, in your life, and in this world. Ooh, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation? Can I have an amen? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they are thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that is in all things he might have the preeminence. Be number one. Now, if he is number one in all creation, the oldest, the wisest, knows all things, he wants to be number one in everything, why do you think he would settle for being number two in your life? For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Question, is there anything outside of Jesus that is needed? If the fullness is there, I just want to ask you a question. If fullness is there, everything, why do we continue to search more and more and more for more than Christ to try to be satisfied? We need to fall in love with God, folks. Jesus Christ is the answer. Well, we got a couple more verses because we want to get to chapter 4, right? Verse 35, the Father loves the Son and has given all things unto his hand. The Father loves the Son. We heard a little earlier in the chapter, verse 16, 17, 18, 19, didn't we? That love was also used. That they love the darkness more than they love the light. What love was that in verse 19? Agape. They unconditionally love the darkness. That's why it's so hard at times to lead people out of their darkness into Christianity. Because they unconditionally love where they are. And if not for the Holy Spirit to get them out of Romans 3, 10 through 17, no one will be saved. Anybody know what love is mentioned here in verse 35? The Father loved the Son. Agape. He agape the Son. Now over in John chapter 5, just a couple of chapters over, verse 20, it says, in the fellowship of where he is, the Father loves the Son. Anyone in here tell me what love that is in 5:20? Agape? No, it's a phileo. I could be wrong, but that's what I understand it to mean. Brotherly love. Me and tell me, God loved Jesus, agape, unconditionally, and in the flesh, there was relationship, a phileo, because Jesus was limited in his knowledge in the flesh. So there was a personal relationship of God the Father and God the Son, different than what God the Son, when he was in the Spirit, was. Someone give me an amen. So you and I need to love people agape unconditionally, and we need to love them phileoly so that we can tell what is right instead of just putting our arms around them and just making it all about love, but to do what's best for them as brothers and sisters. Man, is the Bible awesome? Man, the Bible is awesome. Last verse, everyone say? You shouldn't have to speak up that fast now. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoa. Verse 36, he that believes on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abided on him. I wish we had time to dwell on that one a little bit. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. You got to confess with your mouth and believe with your heart. Can't do one of it either. Got to do both in order to accept Christ. You got to confess what the Bible says you got to confess in order to believe. But I want to show you, what's that last little phrase in verse 36? The wrath of God. Do you know John wrote 5 books in the Bible? Second only to Paul. 5 books. And all the Gospel of John and the Epistles of John, the word wrath is only mentioned once. Now, in Revelation, you get a little bit more. Can I have an amen? Because it's dealing with the Jews and the judgment that God's going to bring and the wrath God's going to bring down on the earth because of them. Wrath of God. This is not a quick, I got mad at you. This isn't that you ticked me off and now I'm mad. This is a wrath that is eternal. if you don't accept him. It's a wrath that has built up since the beginning of Adam and Eve and before. It's a wrath that's going to be carried out. I wish I had time. I spent almost 2 hours, a little bit over there one time at the house with the singles, talking about what I believe the Bible teaches what hell's going to be like. The wrath of God. Let me give you just a little bit, all right? Just 2 points, and we'll call it a day, about what I think eternal judgment is going to be like. Number one, you're going to be absolutely isolated by yourself. You heard these guys go, "Well, man, I'm going to go to hell, and all my buddies going to be there. We're going to party." Let you know they don't know the Bible. You are totally isolated, 100%. You can't see anyone. You can't hear anyone. And the darkness is so thick, you can't even push through it. 2, that fire it talks about in hell, it's worse than physical fire. You're going to wish, anyone that goes and is in judgment is going to wish it was literal fire. Let me tell you just a little bit of what it means. What it means is that you're going to get thirstier and thirstier and thirstier and thirstier and thirstier and thirstier for an eternity. Your thirst is going to grow without the ability to satisfy it or die from it. That is what God's going to bring on man. That's the wrath. Nothing that's kind of just thrown up because he flares, but because he is the God who says, "I want to save you from what's coming for everyone that isn't saved." Anybody in here want some wrath? Can't hear you. If you don't want any wrath, I would suggest that you do what it takes to get out of it. Don't take no Phi Beta Kappa to figure that one out. You got to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You got to believe he's God. You got to believe he's man. You got to believe he lived without sin. And you got to believe that he died on the cross in your place to pay for your sins, because he didn't have any. You got to believe he was taken off the cross, buried, and 3 days later he rose again. He's now at the right hand of the throne of God. You cannot choose what you want to believe out of that. That is not your option. This is a God thing. He's wiser than you and I. His ways is not our. His thoughts is not our. And if he knows best, he knows what it takes for you to believe in him. And that's complete surrender of what he said the gospel is. Shall we pray? Father, thank you so much. If there's anyone here today, Lord, that does not want to run into that wrath, it's simple. They must believe. They must believe the whole gospel, not what they want to believe. They must believe by saying to you right now, "Jesus, here I am. I want to be yours. And in order to be yours, I got to believe you was God, Jesus, and man. That you lived on this earth without sin. That you was put on a cross and died in my place for my sins. I accept that payment for my sins. I ask you to forgive me for my sins. Thank you for not staying on the cross, but you was buried. And Lord, then 3 days later, you rose again. And you are now at the right hand of the throne of God, finished the work for me that I may be yours. Thank you for making me yours. Amen."
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.